Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
We want to have people over, but who do we invite? We don't have any friends.
It is a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and doubt.
You know, worry is the interest you pay it on a bill before it comes due.
What if they won't like us?
Why do you keep staring at me?
Set a spell. Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now. Here.
Well, there's a dilemma ready to happen, isn't it? When you think about the holidays and who you're going to invite to over to your house, and maybe there's a little anxiety over just having people in your home, then there might be a little anxiety wondering, do we know anybody? Can we really have a holiday gathering? And what does that say about the condition of our spiritual lives? Well, today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear from a woman who's been through all of those different emotions and come out stronger on the other end. Her name is Sandy Coughlin, and she blogs at The Reluctant Entertainer and also has a book called The Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. And today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear part two of Dr. Jim Burns' continuing conversation with Sandy on these Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, APU is on iTunes U. You can check out chapel services, special campus speakers like Dr. Jim Burns and Doug Fields, video blogs, and more when you go to apu.edu/iTunes. And now with part two of this conversation on Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer, here's Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a continuing conversation with Sandy Coughlin. We're talking about Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer, and I think most people are actually reluctant entertainers, those who were raised in homes where there was a lot of entertaining. She's written a great book. It's called The Reluctant Entertainer, Every Woman's Guide to Simple and Gracious Hospitality. And I highly recommend it. It's also from a conversation we were having last time that I want to just keep going. She's a popular speaker and author. Since 2006, she's been blogging as The Reluctant Entertainer, and she's the co-author, along with her husband, Paul, of the book Married But Not Engaged. I love this book, and it's been featured on numerous television and radio broadcasts. Sandy and Paul make their home in Medford, Oregon, with their three children. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim.
Great to have you. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of our previous time that I'm not one who sometimes will read something like A Reluctant Entertainer, although I love hospitality. I love, you know, I learned a lot from this, but my wife just grabbed this. And if my wife is anything like most women, you know, Kathy enjoys having people over, but it really puts a lot of stress on her. And sometimes that stress comes on marriage and with our kids as well. Not so much now, but boy, at the beginning, that was the case. Do you find that to be that stress comes along with entertaining?
I do. I say that because just a couple nights ago, we had the soccer team over for dinner after we went to the state championship and the family.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. Yeah. And so we had about 40 people. And luckily, Paul got in there and helped me. But definitely, you know, I don't know anybody who could say, oh, entertaining, having a dinner party is just simple. There's no work involved. There is work involved. But you're doing this because you know the fruits of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to have great connection, fellowship, you know.
Right. The connection is great. But a lot of people, when they think about entertaining, they think even about money. And I know one of your commandments here is to demonstrate being thrifty. Because, you know, you just mentioned 40 people, and there are some folks who are listening who are going, hey, there's no way we could feed 40 people.
Right.
So how do you be thrifty at this? Or how do you figure out, hey, we're going to have this many people over to our backyard or whatever. We need to do this on the cheap and yet make it special.
Right. Well, the first thing I do is after you make your invitation is you plan the menu, and I figure out what I can afford and what I want to make. And then the rest of the dishes I delegate to other people to bring, because pretty much in this day and age right now in America, you know, we all need to pitch in and help. It's, you know, I know very few families who will do the entire meal. And so definitely that. And then the other thing is I go to yard sales, and I have picked up so many entertaining supplies, and I share them with a lot of people, borrow them from me too. So that's another thing. If you know you're having a big party, don't go out and buy 20 new chairs. Ask your friends, or,
right,
you know, if you want to use glass plates or, you know, whatever you want to, just ask your friends to borrow. And then the dollar store, of course, is my friend.
Well, you know, it's fascinating that you say this because we have some friends who are amazing entertainers, amazing, and they're let's just say, wealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, they have an incredible financial capacity. And within the last few months, we were at their house to a dinner, and there were probably about 20 of us at the dinner. And I said, you know, this is the best lasagna I have ever had. Uh-huh. And she goes, Costco.
I knew you were going to say that. They have really good
lasagna. And it was neat because it was really great. We had beautiful plates. Yeah. We don't have any of this kind of stuff at our house, but we had beautiful plates. There was, you know, candles mm-hmm. were lit and all this. And then I make the thing. And she was proud to say it was Costco. I would have never known it was Costco.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a smart idea on her part, wasn't
There's little tips that you can do. I mean, you can take it from their, from the container, you know, put it in your own dish. And, you know, there's many little tricks that you can do to make entertaining really quick.
Yeah. And now, one of your commandments I got thinking about, because a lot of times we'll walk into somebody's house and the first thing we'll get is an apology. They'll say, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. You know, the house isn't perfect, or, you know, the kids just got back from soccer and, you know, they still have soccer, you know, things over. You know, I'm so sorry. We're running late, or the food isn't good, or things like that. And you say, hey, don't apologize.
Don't apologize, because the first thing, just picture yourself walking into a home. How do you feel when somebody greets you at the door?
Yeah.
And right away you're just like, oh, my goodness, you know, where I think most people come in and the things that we noticed, you know, the carpet didn't get vacuumed or the bathroom didn't get cleaned or whatever, other people aren't going to notice. They really are not going to. So why bring attention to it?
Right. Right. And, you know, I think a lot of times somebody else like this, if the wife is doing most of the entertaining, then I think it's partly my job to, without being asked, to go, you know, make sure the toilet's looking, you know, clean and the trash is taken out of the bathroom or whatever, kind of Kathy's hot spots, if you would. And I think that really does, that's kind of a love language that, frankly, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not thinking about the trash and I'm not thinking about the last time the toilet was clean.
Right.
But Kathy is.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that for our male listeners, and I realize some males are fabulous at entertaining, but we're kind of doing it. I think the majority would be probably women would take this. That's why we're having this conversation more on the woman's side. But I think sometimes we also just have to go look at, get past whatever your deal is and help your spouse, you know, take care of some of that.
Yeah.
But I sure agree with the apologizing side. Now, you had an experience once with chicken that reminded you of how apologizing sometimes can make it worse.
Yes, I did. We had about 8 people over, and I messed up on the recipe, which I had cooked many times, and I didn't pre-cook the chicken, so I served the chicken raw to people. I mean, basically, when they cut into it, it was very pink, and I was mortified, and so I was apologizing over and over and over, and it was later, you know, my husband actually brought it to light and said, you know, it's okay. I mean, because we ended up microwaving each plate, and everybody ate, and those people probably don't even remember to this day, but I do. And it was more of a pride issue, I think, for me, because I had, you know, again, it was when I was younger, entertaining when I was younger, and wanted things to be a certain way and look a certain way. And I think it was the pride definitely was it really hurt. And so I brought too much light to the problem.
And really what we have, and it's hard to do, but we really try to have to almost try to just kind of laugh that off. I think everybody has the raw chicken, or we have a fish story that we all kind of waited for Kathy to eat the fish so she could see that it really wasn't exactly. And what was great about it is Kathy just absolutely laughed and said, boy, maybe we should like go get some Chinese takeout.
Yeah,
this did
there we
not
go.
Work.
That's
and,
good.
and yet, that was the right attitude. But I think there's other times when you can, you know, almost, you know, want to attempt suicide because of something when it isn't that big of a deal. Like
no,
you say, it's more about the relationship, about the warmth, about the, well, hospitable feeling than it is about, you know, just how amazing the food was or whatever. You know, your 8th commandment of hospitality is be creative. And we've talked about a lot of creativity. And actually, I think your book is filled with great creative ideas, and your blog is as well. We'll have a link today to your blog as well on the Homeward website. But talk about being creative and how it takes a high level of authenticity in entertaining to really do a good job.
Being creative is using what you have. And so look around. I mean, there was a time once when I didn't have a tablecloth ironed, and so I had an extra shower curtain. And so I put that on the table, and it was great. So it's basically, and don't go out and feel like you have to buy something new every time. If you can't borrow it from a friend, you know, look around. What can you reuse? The guests that come are not going to be critiquing everything to make sure that you have it perfect.
I think you're making us feel
all better today, Roger. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And here's what we want to start with Homeward listeners. Hundreds of thousands of you, we want to have shower curtains at your next holiday event. And then write us, take a picture of it and send it in.
Now, that's something we would like to see. Ben Camp, our engineer, and I would love to see those pictures. So go ahead and send them on in. You can email them to me at roger@homeward.com, and we'll put them up on our website as soon as we get some. Today on the Homeward broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in his continuing conversation with Sandy Coughlin. She is the Reluctant Entertainer and her blog, and she's got tens of thousands of people, literally somewhere around 15,000 people or so, are subscribing that and following her on Twitter. And she has a book called Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer, where she very candidly and very honestly shares some of the struggles that she's had in the years of wanting to be a good entertainer, especially at the holidays, but really having to overcome some obstacles. And there's some great biblical principles that you'll pull out of what Sandy writes about as well. And we've got the conclusion of this conversation on the other side of this break. Of course, Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. We can't thank you enough for the emails and the phone calls and the letters that we receive. If you can give a gift right now in support of our ministry, we would love to hear from you. Your gift of $100 or $200 or more goes a long way to help the ministry. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Heather, oh my gosh, did you hear about Cassie?
No, what happened?
Oh my gosh, okay, so Cassie's dad's like a yacht captain.
No way.
And they have like this really super big boat, I guess, and he's like gone most of the time because he's the captain stuff.
Yeah?
Anyway, while he's gone, Cassie's mom, or maybe it was her stepsister. Anyway, this person calls 911 and said that Cassie had like an overdose, or she like broke her ankle, or I don't know.
Who told you this?
Well, my sister's boyfriend's cousin's neighbor's karate instructor is friends with the guy who like assists to like the person who enters all the like computer stuff at the rehab place next to the hospital where my other sister's best friend's ex-girlfriend used to work, and she told me that Christina jumped off.
Now, if you're a parent, you know that gossip is common among kids of all ages. Boys gossip just as much as girls do, so this is an issue no parent can ignore. Make it clear to your kids that gossip is harmful to everyone involved. Proverbs 16:28 reminds us that a perverse person stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. And for a free copy of my new tip sheet called The Dangers of Gossip, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Before we continue with today's program, it's time for Dr. Jim Burns' recommended resource. And Jim, you've got some encouragement for couples who are in marriages that might be going through kind of a spiritual slump, right?
Well, you know, a lot of couples go through spiritual slumps. Some never get past that slump. I'm suggesting that people take a look at a book called Draw Close. It's by Willard Harley and his wife, Joyce. And he wrote the great book called His Needs, Her Needs. It's a classic. And they've teamed up to develop a devotional. It's a simple devotional. But as you know, part of my story is that Kathy and I have something called Closer Time. And it has changed our marriage. We've done it for a number of years. One time somebody said, take 20 minutes a week and have some Closer Time. And Draw Close is one that we're going to use in our own Closer Time. And I recommend it for everybody. And Willard Harley, you just can't beat him. He has great stuff on marriage and really a classy, classy man.
Classy and very practical. And you can learn more about Dr. Jim Burns' recommended resource when you go to homeward.com. Again, the title that we're recommending right now is Draw Close, a devotional for couples. It's by Willard Harley Jr. and his wife, Joyce. It's available wherever Christian books are sold from Revell Books.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great to be talking with Sandy Coughlin about Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. I think this is just a great conversation we're having. She's a popular speaker, author. Since 2006, she's been blogging as the Reluctant Entertainer. You can look up and Google, and Roger will give you some more information on that in a little bit. She's a co-author with her husband, Paul, of the book Married But Not Engaged. The book we're talking about today is The Reluctant Entertainer, Every Woman's Guide to Simple and Gracious Hospitality. Sandy, we've been going through some of these Ten Commandments and having such a good conversation. I hope many of our listeners are feeling a little bit more, you know, comfortable with this. But, you know, there's some listeners who perhaps live in an apartment. They can't. We've been talking about tablecloths. We've been talking about, you know, on a table, put candles. And they're saying, yeah, we eat on a card table. But they want to entertain, too. And they really do want to, you know, do something for the soccer team or whatever it may be. They may not have the space. What do you suggest for somebody like that?
Well, I actually get a lot of emails from people asking about this, and I, of course, you know, the easiest thing is to do potluck. You just use your kitchen counter and you put the food in there. People sit around. If you have stairs, you sit on the stairs. And basically, people do not care where they're going to sit. Right. They just want to be together.
Right.
And then early on, we have a piano that we would clear off, and I would actually put like the desserts on the piano. And you just have to be creative and look around for what you can do. But really, people don't even need a chair to sit in. They're happy to sit on the floor.
You know, it's funny, I was thinking back to when I was in graduate school in Princeton, New Jersey, and Kathy and I were newlyweds, and we had great friends. We had a guys group, and the women had a group, and then we met as couples. So, and the couples, we would bring food and whatever we had, and we weren't very rich, none of us, and we just had some funny things, but we'd all come. Sometimes we'd come to our house. Now, our house was we had the kitchen and the living room was in the same room. And then there was a bedroom that the bed was so big that you kind of had to go on the side to go to the, you know, if you're going to go into this restroom, which, you know, just small
apartment. Sounds like our first house.
Yeah, right. And you know what? We never complained. Mm-hmm. We sat on the floor, and one of the couples lived across the hall from us in an apartment. And so we kind of went back and forth with that. But, you know, I look at that as some of the best times. And yet, you know, I'm now realizing that most of those meals were, you know, me leaning up against a doorway, you know, eating spaghetti from a paper plate.
Mm-hmm. I think when you have kids too, I get a lot of readers writing in about, you know, we got a ton of kids, we want to have people over. What do we do? Well, we used to have friends over. We had a family that had 5 children. So we would feed the kids first, then we'd send them in the other room to watch a movie and transform the table quickly, and then the 4 adults would sit down at this tiny little table. And so you just, you know, it just takes creativity, and you have to just think outside of the box, but you can make it happen.
You know, I know in our house, and our house is one of these homes where you're talking about numbers, and we had Fellowship of Christian Athletes for like 4 years at our house every week, and, you know, the youth group in the summer came to our house, and we are fortunate to live in Southern California, and there's a pool in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we would have baptisms in the pool, and we'd have all these kind of things. But one of the things that I realized with this is that it really isn't as much about even the food. And you had, and I underlined this in your book, you had a good friend named Michelle, who actually taught you quite a few lessons about entertaining. But one was basically when I visited, you're talking about when I visited, she says, when I visited your home, kind of looked around, it was normal, it was lived in, took note that the bathroom was clean, but it was more how you treated your husband, things like that. And I have found that when we have these people over, I get to know who my kids' friends are. Mm-hmm. It's important for me to see, you know, what the parents are sometimes like, if you have the soccer group, you know, come over, because it's not exactly, you know, the church group or whatever. I've just found that to be an incredible opportunity to get acquainted with a whole lot of people. And we really don't have to worry so much about food. I mean, you could bring, you know, you could buy pizza and you still have a great experience.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jim. I think a lot of people get hung up on, you know, we want to have people over, but who do we invite? We don't have any friends. And so it kind of comes down to, you know, looking at, well, do you have children and who are their parents and what are the sports that they're involved in? We have a big backyard with a pool also. So we get a lot of soccer parties and different groups coming over. But, you know, and then people worry also about, you know, well, what if they won't like us? You know, I think we just have these fears of that we have to overcome, that people really just want to be together. Right. They just want to get to know you.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times I find that we may feel like we don't have a lot of friends or whatever, but if we invite somebody over, if we spend some time with them, it really does become meaningful quite quickly, and they really appreciate it, because we always think everybody else is so busy or everybody else has great friends. But I find that, especially with couples who have kids in the teen years or even the preteen, sometimes they don't have as good of friends because they're just so busy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and we don't know our neighbors. I mean, garage doors open and shut, and we don't even say hello to our neighbors. And we're just in a busy society right now.
You know, one of the things that my wife does, and I just love this, is that when there is a new neighbor in our neighborhood, she has a party, and they come over, and then we invite our neighborhood. And we've lived in the same house for 25 years, and many of those people have also. And we sort of get acquainted, and the neighbors sort of do their thing. They, you know, one lady loves bringing cookies, so she brings cookies. We don't do a meal, but so, you know, some lady brings cookies. It's mainly a dessert sugar fest.
Yeah.
But I don't even know that Kathy might have probably coffee and some drink things, but then, you know, they just all get together, and it's a great way to get acquainted.
Welcome them. Yeah, that's neat.
There was a couple at one time in our neighborhood, they're still in our neighborhood, who we were, as Christians, we were trying to really share faith with. And I was running at the time, and we ran several 10Ks together, the guy and I. And, you know, he thought of us as good people. But Kathy one day just said, hey, do you guys, you know, attend a church? We'd love to welcome you to our church if you ever wanted to come to church. And they said, you know, we've been wondering about that, and we thought you guys went to church. Mm-hmm. So here I had spent a couple of years being a cool person but not bringing up faith. And Kathy just welcomed them to church. But we'd spent so much time with them at other times. And, you know, today they're leaders, not in the church that we took them to, but in another church. And part of it was because Kathy just welcomed them. So even on a Christian level, you can invite people, and hospitality will make them feel more comfortable than even, you know, sometimes a good meal.
That's right. That's right. And I think that I do write about in my book a lot about deeper connections and, you know, what can you, is hospitality really just having people in for entertaining into your home? It's not. You can take meals to people, and I've got some simple guidelines in the book about that. And I tell a story of a 99-year-old man who lived at the end of our street. And it just happened to where I would take dinner on Monday nights to him. For 1 year, I took a meal every Monday night because the country club was closed. And, you know, that was a lesson for my kids to learn. I mean, I think every act of hospitality that we do, if we have children, is really preparing them for what they're going to, how they're going to be hospitable when they get older.
Boy, that's a great comment. A great place for us to close. I have so many more questions, but we'll just have to do it again. Sandy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks
great
for
conversation
having me
today.
Thank you.
And that concludes our two-part conversation with Sandy Coughlin here on the Homeward Broadcast. You've been listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talk with Sandy about her confessions of a reluctant entertainer. And we're so grateful to our friends at Bethany House for making this possible and winging Sandy and her husband Paul down our way to the APU campus so we could have this recording session, because it's so timely, it's so topical. And if you want to learn more about Sandy's ministry, just visit us online at homeward.com, and you can follow a couple of prompts and learn more about The Reluctant Entertainer, the book and the blog. And of course, we appreciate the fact that you are financial partners with us as you're listening to Homeward. Your gift right now of any amount is going to go a long way toward helping us continue to finish the year on financial footing that's very solid. You can write to us at Homeward, P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693, and thank you for sending your tax-deductible donation. Now, speaking of giving, we've got some resources that will help you teach your kids about managing finances and stewardship. And Jim, talk about those.
Well, you're right, Roger. I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
They certainly are, and so many parents are benefiting from using them, Jim. When you go to homeward.com, that's where you'll find these tip sheets. The keyword you're looking for is steadfast, STEADFAST. What you'll do is you'll go to homeward.com, hit the tab that says articles and media, then you're going to type the word steadfast in on the get answers box, and you go ahead and hit that that prompt, and it'll take you right to the tip sheets that are there. And what they do is they help you as a parent talk to your kids about stewardship, because so many times we as parents have the talk about drugs and alcohol, we talk about sex and sexuality, sexual purity, but when it comes to money, we just hand our kids an allowance until they get old enough to get a credit card, and we don't really have that conversation about, like Jim said, saving and spending and investing and tithing as well. And as we talk about Homeward being a nonprofit organization that relies on listener support, this is a part where you can teach your kids about stewardship as you support the ministry of Homeward. So go to homeward.com, you're going to hit the articles and media tab, and then hit the get answers box, you're going to write steadfast, STEADFAST. Hit the little prompt and it'll take you up to these two tip sheets. You can read them, you can download them. Please use them. Take advantage of these valuable new resources.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 9263. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.